the congregation fight. Fight. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, fight that good fight of faith. You have to keep fighting. Don't sit back. You're a servant of God, a child of the Lord since your child. And yet keep fighting. Continue to fight. That good fight, it's a good fight. It's a beneficial fight. In a way, a pleasant fight. A fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Grab it. Lay hold and put your hand on it. And remember, thou hast been called. Fight the good fight. The Apostle Paul wrote also about the fight. I have fought a good fight. So God's children, since their conversion, they keep fighting and striving to enter in through that gate. It's a continual fight, a continual war. And you know, it's a war against sin, right? And the devil and self and the world. But it's also a fight against depression. A fight against fear. And a fight against unbelief. There can be so much unbelief and turmoil and confusion in the hearts of God's people. And they need to deal with that well and properly and biblically. And that is especially true when there are afflictions. Often there are afflictions. Think of Job and Asaph and David and afflictions. There's so many questions and turmoil and fear and unbelief, right? And depression. And those times of affliction and depression and fear can sometimes turn into the best times. Those high heights are usually coming after deep depths. Let me simplify that. What do you think, children? Usually, where does the Lord give the most joy spiritually? In the hospital or on the cruise? Right? In the hospital, I would say. When there is confusion and turmoil and fear and depression and wondering, and then the Lord comes over, it can be so precious on the sick bed in the hospital. And that's so much better than a cruise and having nothing of that without the favor of God. So David also had those times, as we have read in the Bible, of his son Absalom and all the circumstances, all the turmoil, stepping on his heart. But in those circumstances, he made the most beautiful poems, the most beautiful psalms and psalters. And then you see how he's dealing with that. With his depression and his fear and his confusion. How does he deal with that? You say he probably prays, right? He reads the Bible, right? He goes to God's house if he can, yes, but more. Let's try to have a look into the heart of David. David, how do you deal with spiritual depression? The text is from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 5. Actually, 5 and also verse 11. And actually also of the next Psalm, 43, verse 5. Those verses, 42, verse 5 and 11, and 43, verse 5, are almost identical. It's a refrain. But let me first read verse 5, Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down. O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David, talking to himself, when banned from the sanctuary. That's the theme. He's talking to himself, right? Why thou cast down, O my soul? Three thoughts. Questioning himself. Why art thou cast down? And why art thou disquieted in me? Secondly, encouraging himself, hope thou in God. And in the third place, assuring himself. That's a little different. Assuring himself. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So David talked to himself and banned from the sanctuary, questioning himself, encouraging himself, and assuring himself. Congregation, David suffered, and he knew why. He had so grossly sinned against the Lord, and there will be consequence in his life and his family. He saw that. And now his son Absalom. Well, Absalom was smart and jealous and selfish and cunning. And Absalom thought in his heart, I will be king. What did he do? Early in the morning, he was at the gate of the city, and then people came in, coming to court, asking judgment from the king. He said, wait a moment. Who are you? Where are you from? Oh, I see your point. You're right. But I'm so sorry I have to announce you that the king has no time for you. But I can help you. And so he stole the hearts of the people, empathizing with them, agreeing with them. And when they bowed before him, he grabbed their hands and he kissed them. He was bonding with the people. And Israel liked him. The people loved the son of David, Absalom. At a certain point, he revolted. At a certain point, he had spies everywhere, and they said, Absalom is king, and he pretended to go to Hebron for a sacrifice, and David gave his permission. We already read it all together. And David heard it, that Israel was following Absalom, and he had to flee. Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly. And David fled, because his own dear son wanted to kill him. No problem, wanted to kill him. And it's probably in those circumstances, or similar circumstances, that David made Psalm 42 and 43. Depressed, wondering, fearing. Was such a thunder in his heart, such a foul weather in his heart. He didn't know what to do. And you see that in this psalm so clearly. Let me just guide you through this psalm and show you a few things of how he felt and what the circumstances are. When shall I come and appear before God? What do you mean? I would like to appear before God. When shall I come and appear before God? Can't you then know I cannot appear before God? I cannot come to the sanctuary. I'm not allowed. I'm banned. I would love to go there again, but I'm not permitted. He fled, right? When shall I appear before God? He had a longing in his heart like a deep panting for the water brook, so was he thirsty for God. He was crying, not just a few tears. Not just a few tears, he was crying, sobbing. My tears have been my meat, day and night. He kept crying. It was emotional. Overwhelming sadness in his heart, not knowing what to do anymore. My tears have been my meat day and night. Why? They accuse him and say, "Now, David, where is your God? Where is your God? Tell me. Are you in his favor? Are you his child? Do you really believe that? I wonder. Where is your God?" Oh, he remembers, "I went with God's people to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise." Not anymore. No joy. No happiness. Oh, his soul was cast down within him. Deep was calling unto deep. "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Not this little wave, but over him, drowning him, all God's billows over him. That's how he felt, dying, drowning. Why, if he felt forgotten, why hast thou forgotten me? As a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. A sword in your bones? A sword in your ribcage? Through your ribs, through your bones, he felt stabbed in his heart, in his bones, in his ribcage, by all those words. "Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man," he writes in Psalm 43, which is part of Psalm 42. That's just one psalm. "Deliver me from deceitful, unjust man. Oh, send thy light and thy truth." See, congregation, David's circumstances. Where was he? Well, that's also clear from this psalm. He was at the spring of the Jordan River. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts, all thy waves and billows gone over me." But he also writes about that before, from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar, that's up north, where the water of the Jordan River, the source, jumps, goes down, descends into the riverbed. All those water spouts, the waterfalls, the noise of that, he's probably there in the midst of nature. But it's loud, beautiful but loud, and he is missing the Lord. So here he is making this psalm, or maybe a little later. And then our focal point is, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" So he is not only asking the Lord, "Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning?" People sometimes ask why to the Lord. "Why, Lord? Why? Why is this happening to me?" Sometimes he asks people, "Why are you doing that?" But he is asking why to himself. "Oh, my soul," David, he is two people. David talks to David. And David says, "David, oh my soul, why?" In the way I understand, but why? "Why are you so cast down, oh my soul?" cast down. Cast down means to bow down. Someone made you to bow down. The circumstances are so that you're bent over, that you're on the ground. You can't stand up. You're low at the ground, cast down on the floor. You can't lift yourself up. Why, David? Why can't you stand up? Why are you so low? Why are you so cast down, spiritually cast down? Why? Do you have a good reason? Now, you know, when people ask why, you may feel defensive. That's a dangerous word, if I may say. But why? In your marriage, your colleagues, why? You get really defensive. Why? I need an explanation. Why? Tell me why. I strongly disagree. I want to know why you do this. Don't use the word why too often and say when, or what, or where. Why questions are often causing conflict. But he is asking why to himself. David, do you have an explanation why you are feeling so cast down? And why are those so disquieted in me? Disquieted. What is disquieted? That's an old word, and our forefathers tried to translate it as close as possible. Disquiet. So quiet. You know what quiet is, right? Quiet? You know this? Disquiet is noisy. There's no calm. No silence. No quietness. There's trouble. There's noise. There's a hum. There's a roaring sound of water. You saw. So David is asking himself, David, why are you so disquieted in me? He is rebuking himself. And he's reasoning with himself. He talks to himself. And that's all right. So, at the end of his first thought, God's children can have times of affliction. I feel confused. I feel fearful. And I have unbelief. And the Lord says, by the mouth of David and the Holy Spirit in this psalm, ask yourself the question. Ask yourself the question. Let not other people ask the question, but yourself. Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquiet within me? Do you have reasons for that? It's cognitive counseling. Why? What's the reason? Now, come on, what's the reason? I can even ask unconverted people, why? Why are you so down? Why is it so hopeless? Why do you think there's no conversion for you? Why do you say it's a lost case? Why do you say it's absolutely hopeless? Why so dark? Why so somber? There is a word of God. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in all circumstances, he does not change. Enough about that. Let's go to the second thought. Encouraging himself. Hope thou in God. You know, there's lots of confusion on the word hope. And if you don't understand it, you just misinterpret this whole text. So you have to explain it first. That hope in this text is not the hope we usually talk about. So how do we usually use the word hope? Well, I hope it will rain a little longer for the grass. The grass may grow. We hope it. We don't know for sure, but that's my desire. That's our hope. That's not what's meant here. Or you can hope that you come home from the hospital, or hope that your disease is not too serious and that the operation is successful. We hope, we are not certain, but we hope that we'll be okay. The word hope here in our text is much stronger. Sometimes translated with wait. But that's the same problem. Waiting also is kind of passive, right? You wait and you wait and you hope and you wait. That's not what's meant here. That hope here is to have real expectation. To be convinced of God. Hope thou in God. Be convinced of Him. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Rely on Him. That's the word hope. That hope kind of, well, there's always hope. You can always hope. You never know. There's hope. No. To be absolutely convinced of God. Hope thou in God. Entirely rely on Him. And that's important. So it does not say hope because you felt converted a few years ago. It does say hope because you had an experience. It doesn't say hope because you had a text. It doesn't say hope in God because you felt so broken. It doesn't hope because you had those marks of grace. No. It says, hope thou in God. I remember years and years ago that I was in spiritual darkness. Absolutely dark. Nothing left. Nothing left. And I talked to a friend, an older man, and I conveyed my darkness, my spiritual darkness to him. And I said, I would like to know if my beginning was of the Lord, or if it is all of myself. He looked at me, he said, what if you would find out that your beginning was of the Lord? You would sit back and rest and enjoy it. And that's not something I recommend. Because you may even make a mistake. No, he said to me, why don't you start all over? As if nothing ever happened. Don't throw it away, put it in a drawer. And just be unconverted. Have nothing. And seek your salvation outside of self in another. I never forgot it anymore. And since, I've started over many times. Completely started over. Said, Lord, if it has been all nothing, then I'm still here. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. And so David, he says to himself, hope thou not in what you have received, but hope thou in God. So he's encouraging himself to hope in the Lord because of his loving kindness. But does it say, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. So he's kind of reminding himself, David, hope thou in that God of loving kindness. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a faithful God. My prayer is unto the God of my life. He's a life-giving God. He is the Savior. He saves the people from their sins. And you know, that word hope, wait, expect, trust, rely, be convinced is quite important in the Bible. Well, let me show that with a few precious words with the word hope in there, in the same sense of trust, seek your salvation only in Him. I read in Psalm 31, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. O all ye that hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. See? That is not hoping in the sense of, you know, let's, you can always hope, no, that trust in Him. Or think of Psalm 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Not hope in the sense of you never know, you can always try. No, that's not what it is. Hope in thy mercy. Trust, rely, convinced of His mercy. And if you're convinced of His mercy, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. We hope in thee. We trust in thee, Lord. That's a trust verb by the Holy Spirit. But David says, yet to himself, David, trust, rely, seek your salvation in Him. Or Psalm 130, wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and His word do I hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is mercy, and with Him is plenty redemption. So why may people hope in the Lord? Because in the Lord is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. So hope thou in God. He is not talking to a converted person. He's talking to himself. But he is so unconverted himself. Hope thou in God with all your being unconverted. Doesn't matter how unconverted you are. Seek your salvation outside of self. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. The Lord loves that. The Lord likes that. What does He like? The Lord has pleasure in what? The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, tremble, stand in awe, in those that hope in His mercy. Oh, that is pleasing to the Lord when people have nothing left in themselves and seek salvation in Christ Jesus. And you know, as I indicated, that's three times. Three times in this psalm, hope thou in God. In verse 5, in verse 11, in verse 5, in Psalm 43. Three times, why art thou disquieted? Why cast down? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Three times. That's a superhuman effort. I will not let thee go. It's pressure. He repeats himself. It's a prayer also. And he keeps going. David, 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 hope thou in God, hope thou in God. You better hope in God. It's a struggle. It's a fight. A fight in difficult circumstances, in darkness. But he does not give up. He does not say, well, I sit back. Hopefully the Lord comes over someday. No, he says to himself, O my soul, hope thou. You better hope in God. The loss of the sense of love is not the same as losing love itself. He lost the sense of God's love. He didn't feel it. Why am I mourning? But the Lord is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And when you think of hope thou in God, there's also a reason behind that, right? Remember that sentence, that verse 10, as a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You see verse 10? About that sword in his bones, that knife in his ribcage. I see there is something of the Lord Jesus. Right? Sword in my bones. Mine enemies, Pontius Pilate, the priest, the soldiers around the cross. Where is thy God? Where is thy God? And the Lord Jesus Christ, he received those stabs, and he received that being cast down. He received that desolation and being forsaken of the Lord because of Christ. This is true. So I can also say, hope thou in God, in Christ. Seek your salvation only in him. So David is talking to himself, questioning himself, why? And cursing himself, hope thou in God. Not, I have always a chance, no. Trust in him. The Lord has a pleasure in those that fear him and hope in his mercy. And then he also assures himself, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What is that? The help of his countenance? And in verse 11, a little different. I shall praise who is the health, not help, but health of my countenance. The help of thy countenance and the health of my countenance. Our third thought. So David was questioning himself, why David so cast down and so disquieted? He encouraged himself, hope thou in God, and he also assures himself. He comes with a reason, for I will yet praise him. For I will yet praise him. The Lord will make it well. I yet will testify of him, speak well of the Lord. I know that for sure, whatever happens, he also writes it to Samuel. Whatever the consequence, whatever is going to happen, I will trust in him for the help of his countenance. The second four is in italics, see that? So that's not in the original. It says, for I shall yet praise him, comma, the help of his countenance. So the help of his countenance. Actually, it says it in plural, the helps, but that's not English, right? But help does not occur in plural in English. So you could also say deliverances, times of help, help and help again. For the help of his counsel, Lord, has helped so often and will help again. The word help is a word that you almost recognize if I say it in Hebrew. Yeshua. It's sometimes translated as salvation or savior even. So you could translate for us, yet praise him, comma, the savior, salvation of his countenance. He saves, he rescues, he delivers from sin and guilt. He restores with God. He is the only help, not that you do something that helps. Some assistance, that's not what it means, but help is Lord is doing everything himself. The help of God. I shall yet praise him for his help, for his salvation. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What do you make of that? The help of his countenance. This word countenance is sometimes translated as presence and sometimes as person. His own person. His own countenance is God himself, his presence, his person. It comes from God himself with a line underneath there. It is the help of his countenance, not your help. It is what he is doing. His countenance, his personal choice, his will, his election, his salvation is so one-sided. It's from God's side for the help of his countenance. It comes out from his side, from his person in a loving way. So David says, why are you so disquieted? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the salvation from his side. His salvation only from that side. That's his hope. Is that also your hope? I mean hope in the sense your only expectation, you rely on that. It does not have to come from your side. It's from his side, his countenance. Don't try to help the Lord. Don't put effort in that, saying, Lord, I can help thee. No, it is the help of his countenance only. You don't have to help the Lord. Just leave all those efforts alone. Seek your salvation only in him. All the expectation of man needs to be cut off. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But now go to verse 11. You see a difference, right? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. In other words, health and help is the same word. And our forefathers translated help in verse 5 and health here. Why did they do that? Why don't they say help here as well? Well, they have made that difference because of the context. It says, the help of his countenance. It can't say the help of my countenance. It's the health of my countenance. That also makes perfect sense. The word Yeshua can also be translated as health. That's the real health, the real salvation of my countenance. So his countenance, my countenance, from his person to this person. So personal. The Lord's grace is so personal. It's from face to face. From countenance to countenance. Now when you see two people talking, face to face, from countenance to countenance, his help from his side is so beneficial for the other one who receives that personally. You know, grace is not something you can inherit. It's personal. It's so personal. Your father, your mother, your child, a relative may receive grace. But that's not for you. That's for that person personally. You need it yourself. Seek salvation for your own countenance. For your own face. For your own self person. That's what it is. So David is asking, why art thou so disquieted? Why so noisy within? Disquieted. Hope thou in God, not in yourself, in God. And seek your salvation. It comes from his countenance to you personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord works things personally, not in general. Not painting people with the same brush. But the Lord deals with people individually, with you personally, right? My son, my daughter, give me your heart. So I read in 2 Chronicles 20 about Yehaziel, that's a prophet. And he speaks to Jehoshaphat. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. O Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Then be still. You don't need to fight yourself, to be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. It's the same word. It's a help. It's a health. Because the Lord gives spiritual health. Spiritual help. Spiritual salvation. For the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he took upon himself all those diseases, all those afflictions, all those wounds. And through his wounds and through his stripes, he heals his people. The health of their countenance. His death is their life. congregation, talk to yourself today. Why are you still unconverted? Ask yourself the question. Why are you still unconverted? Why don't you seek the Lord? Why don't you spend more time in prayer? Why are you feeling so down about those things? And the Lord is so generous, plenteous redemption. Why so disturbed and so down about God? Seek Him. The help comes from His countenance, and seek it personally for yourself. And people of God, maybe through the circumstances, you're so confused, there might be darkness. Also follow the example of David. Leave it alone. Follow the Lord. Why so disquieted? Calm down. I shall yet praise Him for the health and the help of His counsel for your countenance. To follow the Lord, it will be well. The storms, the waves, and the billows go over your head, I know. Yet, I shall yet praise Him for the health of my countenance and my God. Can you say that? Can you leave the church with that? My God, in spite of everything that's against you, having God for you, my God, then you have enough and everything in spite of all the consequences of sin. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His songs shall be with me, a prayer unto the God of my life. Amen. All-sufficient Lord, to reach out to sinners, to those that don't seek the Lord, quicken them, Lord, come with Thy face to their face and arrest them personally, draw them unto Thyself. Also be mindful of Thy people, give them personal application of the Spirit, that they also in faith may hope and hope again in the Lord. Graciously forgive all the shortcomings, bless Thy word, be with us the rest of this day, and bring us safely back home and back to Thy house, in Jesus' name alone. Amen.